You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Just got 9:32 Central African time, and Travel Express joining you now, Alhamdulillah. And Ibrahim Badacha is there. Good to have him after many moons. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell us how you're doing this fine, a beautiful evening.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Personally, I'm feeling good, alhamdulillah, but we just had a few losses in the immediate and extended families due to COVID, so the mood is somewhat subdued otherwise.
Yes, Ibrahim, you know, many are feeling that, and I think we all have had some close family members making parda from the dunya. But the reality, you know, of life has to go on, and, you know, we make dua for all of them. We empathize, we sympathize with them that have lost family members, and stay safe, Ibrahim. And, you know, when you look at your, especially the game that you're in the travel industry, and perhaps you know, many are looking forward to governments of the world are making you know, an informed decision in the South African case, securing the vaccine and maybe opening up the travel industry. And you know, perhaps one of the main criteria, if you look if you read into you know, the different tourist countries that allow tourism, like in the case of Saudi Arabia, if you look at it, if you are vaccinated, and you know, when you take your vaccination, then and only then will you be allowed into the country. The same with many other destinations, that I think one of the main criteria will be to take that COVID vaccination. Ibrahim, how would you respond to that?
I agree with what you're saying, that the pandemic is an issue as such, and my reservations are about the untested and unproven and rushed through nature of these vaccines that have potential to interfere and permanently change your DNA. So whilst the mainstream media is cheerleading the vaccine and the inoculation of people worldwide, the thing is, I'm just reserving comment to see how this pans out. And basically what they want, and as our wonderful Bill Gates said, that the entire world population has got to be vaccinated. Now, the big question is, these vaccines will not cure COVID. They will not prevent people from contracting COVID. They will not prevent COVID-related hospitalization, nor will they prevent COVID-caused death. So if the vaccine doesn't protect me or you from getting COVID or dying from COVID, why are they making such a big issue about everyone having it?
Well, that's a good point indeed, Ibrahim. And Ibrahim leaves up the question, why are they making such a big thing about it? Well, the Flight Center Travel Group commits to getting the stranded Emiratis customers back home, Ibrahim. And following the announcement today, that was on the 14th of January, that was on Thursday, the announcement that Emiratis will temporarily suspending flights to and from South Africa from 15 January until the 28th of January. The Flight Center Travel Group, South Africa, would like to reassure the stranded Emiratis customers that they will get them home. Tell us more about this Flight Center, you know, Travel Group, and the commitment to our stranded Emiratis, you know, passengers that are, or customers that are stranded there, to get them back home to South Africa, Ibrahim?
Yeah, sure. Look, with respect to Flight Center, they are one of the major travel groups in South Africa, if not globally. And I think what they've done is to put out an announcement that those that have been stranded, and there are various reasons as to why Emirates suddenly came out and said that they are suspending flights to and from South Africa from, I think it was last Friday, 15 January, right up until the 28th of January, 2021. I think the first thing was because of the sudden increase in the number of positive cases that were recorded, and the increased hospitalizations and subsequent deaths of people that have been suffering with the virus. That could have been one of it. Also, there have been, and I'm aware of various rumors news that have been swirling around is that there have been some unscrupulous people who have been issued with bogus negative PCR tests, right? And they have gone so far as to travel knowing that they are positive, going across there and claiming insurance. Now, I don't know how low one can stoop if they resort to such levels, but those are the rumors that are going around. So that's what, in my opinion, prompted Emirates to stop it for a while just to see what happens, whether the incidence of the disease decreases somewhat and in a bit to stymie whatever other nefarious activities that are related to it. Now, with regard to Lysenko promising that they will take care of their customers, I think any travel agent, IATA charter travel agent, that's worth his salt, would do that. And if Emirates announced that fault in services, then obviously they would have to make efforts, whether it's involuntary rerouting or any other alternate arrangement for the passengers who were booked and are not COVID positive and not in quarantine to come back home as soon as they possibly can get there. So that's what the situation is in reality. And whilst we empathize with those that have been stuck over there, it's a fact of life because the situation is very fluid, very volatile. From one minute to the next, you don't know whether they're going to close borders or stop flights and things like that. So whilst people would like to travel, it is a bit dodgy insofar as what turned out in the end.
Yes, you know, Ibrahim, would you rate Emirates as the best airlines in the world, or do you have another preference?
Well, look, I think they're one of the biggest, but not necessarily the best, because it all depends on the standard of service and everything else that goes with making a world-class airline. And the other Middle Eastern carriers like Qatar and all the rest of it are also right up there with them, some even better or equal to. And it depends on how desperately the people would like to travel. And there's always an option that one can find that is available, providing they meet the criteria insofar as the COVID negative test go, the vaccination go, and things like that. And coming back to the vaccination story, basically, it's a question of producing your papers all over again. You know, like if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to travel. So that's going to be the norm going forward. Not that I agree with it, because more and more they are starting to impinge on and erode on our personal freedom and rights and freedom of movement, of course, with issues like this.
And also, Ibrahim, how would you rate Turkish Airlines? I mean, there's something about the Turks. You know, I like the Turkish delights, but how would you rate the Turkish Airlines?
Turkish Airlines is right up on top there with the rest of them. In fact, they fly, they have the biggest fleet, I would think, in the world. They fly to more destinations than any other airline on Earth. So, yes, and I personally have flown all those airlines, and the in-flight service on Turkish, whether it's in economy or business, is phenomenal.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Ibrahim, they're really giving us details on the different airlines you get. And not forgetting the Pakistani airlines. They say the Pakistani pilots are one of the top pilots in the world. How would you react to that?
Well, I guess it's a matter of opinion, right? take nothing away from the Pakistanis. I guess everyone who gets their, pilot license to fly has to go through a series of globally approved tests and things of that nature before they get their license to fly. And I'm sure that their ability, the capabilities and their professionalism must be on par with a lot of other or Western-oriented pilots per se. I'm not saying that they are the best, nor am I saying that they are below average at all. I think that they are on par with everyone else. So, yeah.
I like you, Ibrahim. You're a diplomat. I think I'm going to get you into politics soon. I know which party. We will discuss after the show.
It's a question of having a conscience if you want to get into politics.
Okay, you believe one, it, you better be the travel agency that we trust, you know? And you're quite astute at what you do. Jazakallah, Ibrahim. Well, looking at this, travelers from anywhere in the world may now visit the Seychelles or Seychelles, provided that they have been vaccinated for COVID-19. This is according to the Minister for Tourism and Foreign Affairs, Sylvester Randogonde. I hope I got his name right.
You went right, more or less.
Gee, Brad, your response?
Well, look, like everywhere else on Earth, whichever country or destination that relies heavily on tourism, and of course, Seychelles is a prime example of one such island that relies for the majority of the income on tourism. And with the advent of COVID, all activities ceased, and a lot of hotels on the verge of bankruptcy, like we have over here as well. So a lot of them are closed down. And particularly the smaller hotels, like the ones on the island, Ladig, Praline, and in Mahé also, they have been battling seriously, and they're looking to open up the borders, especially if you have a negative PCR test and you have proof of vaccination. Then they say it's okay for you to come over, and they need that income so that they can kickstart the economy again. It's desperate there, and they're looking to do that. Hence, these measures that were announced. And also the Seychelles government indicated that until mid-March, they would need that negative PCR test, because they hope to have more than 70% of their population, local population, vaccinated by that time.
See, Brian, I'm sure you've been to Seychelles quite a few times, and tell us about the place. It's a beautiful place to go through, and I believe the sea sand day is unique, pure white. Tell us about Seychelles, Ibrahim.
Yeah, it is a special destination, per se, in the Indian Ocean. Very idyllic, very beautiful, also pretty expensive as well. So that is why you'll find that amongst our traveling public that Mauritius holds center stage, because of the fact that it's closer and it's more affordable than Seychelles. But I guess Seychelles has its own allure, its own culture, a lot of French influence and things like that. Lots of very high top-end accommodation and resorts over there. And lovely climate, except on occasion we get some cyclonic activity, but that's few and far between. But the people are friendly, and like any island in the Indian Ocean, the welcome is very warm, and lots of things to see and do over there for relaxation. And I know that lots of wealthy people have got their own villas and all, they get cost a fortune, really. But it's more, it's not as commercialized as Mauritius, and I think therein lies the allure.
Okay, so people are more private there than, because you look at that, it's a pure, pristine, pure country.
True.
Or an island, we can call it, a very pure and pristine.
Sure, it is. And I guess because of the fact that it's stuck out in the middle of the ocean, you know, that's what gives it that exclusivity, if you might say.
Kevin Ibrahim says, right, all alone there in the ocean. Hey, what an island could you be there in the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at that Mozambique, Mozambique closes its beaches, and Mozambique has instituted a lockdown for the effect from that was on Friday, January 15th. Beaches must be closed, along with the casinos and all those other things, gymnasiums, theaters, museums, and galleries. And yes, so they're closing all that. Mozambique, a popular destination. I remember, pre-apartheid, it was a destination most, South Africans used to go to Mozambique, and you had to have the prawns there, and used to go and have all those other things they should enjoy. You know, perhaps you could recall, that. Is it still a very popular holiday destination for South Africans?
Uh, it is. And just harkening back to pre-apartheid days, you recall that what is now Maputo used to be called Lorenzo Marx, and that was very popular. There used to be LM radio that used to be beamed out of there to South Africa. And yes, it was very popular. There was a lot of cross-border traffic, a business as well as tourism. And all the major hotel chains, South African and other international, were there. And of course, with the change in government there, when Frelimo came into power, things, of course, everything went south. Things deteriorated somewhat, but nevertheless, they have since picked up again. A lot of foreign investment has come in, as well as from South Africa. Some of the major chains are back over there, and yes, it is still a very popular destination, and it is pretty beautiful, depending on where you go, but the country is still grappling with issues like poverty and things like that. But if you're going there for tourism, there are specific islands and places, especially towards the north, that one can go to that are very pretty, very peaceful, and very beautiful. And this lockdown that they've introduced with new restrictive measures is on for the next 21 days that began on Friday, 2015, just to try and sort of restrict the spread of COVID. And amongst other things, all commercial establishments are closed at 1800. There's no private events like weddings and things like that after 2000. Religious services, conferences, meetings, etc., cannot exceed 50 people. Monday to Friday, restaurants open until 2000, and in the weekend up to 1500. The good thing is that liquor stores can only open between 8 and 1300 and remain closed on Sundays. And of course, to get in there, all travelers must present a negative COVID-19 test. That about sums up what they have proposed for the next 21 days.
Yes, Ibrahim, also when you think of Maputo, or you think about Mozambique, and you think about Lorenzo Marques, and you said LM Radio, you spoke about also, you know, you won't forget the cashew nuts that you had from Lorenzo Marques.
Sure.
Was, you know,
for
people
sure.
used to love the cashew nuts. And then when it was for prawns, they used to go and eat prawns by the tons there. And perhaps, you know, you could recall that, you know, the bringing those tins of cashew nuts from Maputo and enjoying it. Any memories that you can share with us, Ibrahim?
Well, I at that time, I didn't travel out as much as I do of late. I have been there maybe once or twice, but maybe just stayed around in LM as it was then, and never been there after the regime was changed. And I'm not sure, I mean, barring what I know from the travelogues and travel writers and people, I haven't been there since. So I don't really know what the situation is like on the ground, how safe it is and things like that, because there have been various issues, especially for the rich and famous and the big business people, with kidnappings and things taking place like that. So it's a mix depending on where you're going and how careful you've got to be.
Yeah, absolutely, Ibrahim. You know, you make a point there, because there's a lot of insurgency there, and
yes,
you know, the American forces are also there in that part of the world, and they're saying, there's a lot of problems coming through. Allah safeguard all of us. Well, we look at the World Travel and Tourism Council, WTTC, has highlighted that mental well-being as one of the key factors that will ensure that as the tourism sector rebuilds, it comes back stronger and better than before. To that end, the council has launched its new mental health guidelines, which have been compiled and support businesses of all sizes to support the mental health of the employees. Well, you know, this COVID-19 has affected so many people, depression, you know, and all those anxieties that's coming through. Many have a mental you know, a breakdown. Your take on this, Ibrahim, mental health, key to rebuilding a tourist sector, your view?
Yeah, Shafat, there have been some guidelines that have been put out by the WTTC. That was in 2020, and of course, they are using that greatly said catchphrase, build back better, stronger than before. So my question is, who are the ones responsible to get us into the situation in the first place? And how are the same people planning to do it better than they already did by screwing up the work the first time around? So that is one thought, but some of the guidelines that are going to be aimed at helping and supporting people insofar as their mental and psychological, emotional and other makeup goes, they are talking that after nearly a full year of insecurity and hardship with COVID, they had to come up with something like this to help the travel sector as such. And while they put out at least four more guidelines, the thing is, it's very sketchy and it doesn't specifically spell out exactly how they plan to achieve what they are talking about, right? Insofar as the four pillars that is based on, they talk about developing a supportive system, creating safe spaces, supporting an agile system. Now, Allah only knows what they're talking about there, I don't know. Simplified support for good mental health and things like that. And some of the examples they state is to provide appropriate mental health support within the organizational structure to the extent that is possible. And this could include access to professional and specialized support to the local health authority and or the business itself. And to develop leave policies, that means if you're working, to have leave policies in place that offer equivalent time off or concessions for mental health and physical health without prejudice to the person concerned. And to develop feedback systems that allow employees to share if and how the current systems are working well and not working well to meet staff needs. And they aim to foster an environment that respects the value of well-being at all levels of the organization, and not to ostracize those with mental health conditions, whether common or less common to that extent. In addition, they also want to consider incorporating international wellness elements in the design of new buildings, offices, locations, and or spaces wherever possible, and to engage with like-minded businesses and associations to share best practices and improve support for the awareness of mental health issues. So that's what they are planning to do, Shafat. How they're planning to do it and who the people concerned are going to be actually implementing this remains to be seen.
You know, Ibrahim, also, you know, when it comes to linguistic gymnastics, hey, the guys are good at it, you know, flowery words and say all that. How are you going to implement it is another story. And then you're looking at the tourism world and you look at the different types of, you know, tourism that's done. Who are the predominant role players when it comes to the shipping and the airlines or for tourism? Who are some of the big role players that capture the markets, Ibrahim?
Well, look, I think basically if they're looking at it from the travel perspective, obviously the manner in which you travel, right, to get there and back, that would be your main place, would be the airline industry, the cruise line, and any other rail or other road traffic that involves. From the accommodation side, obviously, they'll be looking at all the major hotel chains and things like that, looking at government tourism boards and offices and things like that to try and reach some sort of common ground and consensus and come up with a white paper that will be acceptable to the majority before they start introducing these so-called measures. And the fact that the situation on the ground with regard to COVID is so volatile and so ever-changing, you know, at the drop of the hat. I don't know how all this is going to work because nobody knows when this COVID thing is going to end or when are they going to want it to end. So personally, I'm looking at 2021 going down the tube very much like 2020 did. And unless and until someone comes out with a coherent policy and find means to halt the spread of this disease, it's going to be more of the same as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, Ibrahim, you know, I'm aware of the United Arab Shipping Company, which dominates, you know, cargo shipping. We know that Emirates is the airline that is quite a sizable force. But who's the biggest airlines on earth? You know, who's the largest? Is it a Arab-owned consortium, or is it a European or American consortium that rules the airwaves?
Well, if one talks from a Western perspective, then obviously the airlines in America are pretty big, pretty strong. But if we look at it from our context as South Africa and its travel perspective in and out of Africa per se, then the Middle Eastern carriers and, of course, people like Turkish Airlines, they are the ones that are moving the majority of passengers. There are some other airlines, maybe like British Airways and perhaps Virgin Atlantic, that cater to Western destinations, and those will be carrying fewer than the main Middle Eastern players.
I tell you, Ibrahim, you were absolutely mashallah this evening. Your knowledge came through, and your expertise and your experience. Allah bless you for that. Perhaps your parting words before I let you go.
Well, look, all I can say is that this COVID issue has affected every one of us. I just trust and I hope and I pray that everyone and the loved ones, all the listeners included and families, take care, and I pray that Allah always blesses them and protects them and keeps them safe. And I think instead of letting the fear get to us, what we must understand that whether we die in an auto accident or die of old age or just die, and if it's of COVID as well, the thing is, if our time is up and we've got to go. And more importantly, I think it must be seen as a progression of the soul as it goes back to its creator. So, yes, death is a reality. We all feel sad. We all cry for the loss of a loved one. But we're all going to go down that road at some stage, Shabbat, and alhamdulillah, we have our faith and we know what the situation is when it comes to that passing one. So I don't think there should be any fear.
Absolutely, Ibrahim, and we have so many dear ones waiting for us on the other side. Hey, I can. Whenever I hear your voice, Ibrahim, I always think of your late dad. You know, I really love the man. His warmth was so efficacious. May Allah, finish cover with Noor and grant him a Jannat al-Firdaus. Ibrahim.
Amen. Hey.
You were mashallah this evening, and jazakallah khair. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Before I leave, I must say that you say the nicest thing. So thank you so much for that.
No, I love you for the pleasure of Allah, Ibrahim. I really love you. I mean that.
It's a pleasure coming on the air and interacting with you. And of course, I hope that our listeners enjoy it as much as you and I do having this program. So thank you so much for having us on. And listeners, thank you so much for listening to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Ibrahim, inshallah, next week this time you go well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, our people, keep it locked on to Markaz Sahaba for beautiful programming. Next up will be Jihad with Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki. And that's the topic, Jihad with the Messenger. And Alhamdulillah, Lukalo, thank you very much for doing a brilliant piece of engineering this evening. Keep it locked on to Markaz Sahaba for beautiful programming. And lots of powerful information coming to you. Rabbi Zidni Ilma, online, increase us in knowledge, increase me in knowledge. Time to leave you with a hearty, till we meet you again, we bid you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.